ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 8 as we continue our study through the book of Judges. And we're currently studying the life of Gideon, the fifth judge in Israel. And as we've seen, God raised up this frightened man who blamed God for all the things that were happening to his people. And when God first called him, Gideon had all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And, you know, if we were honest with ourselves, the Midianites were the enemy. They were the ones oppressing Israel. They had a bigger and stronger military force. And their oppression went on for like 7 years. And there was nothing that the children of Israel could do about it. Now, we think of 7 years. Well, it's not that long, is it? I mean, we could get by, but you have to understand what they would do. You see, they were taking food off the table, you might say, from the children of Israel, and that was a serious thing. In fact, we read of this in Judges 6, verses 3 through 6, where it says, "So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." You know, obviously, when the enemy takes your food, it's bad. You know, they couldn't go down to the Piggly Wiggly, if they had Piggly Wigglies in those days, and, you know, pick up some groceries. They planted the seeds. They had to take care of them. They then harvested the crop. But now, it wasn't working out. In fact, the children of Israel are hiding out in caves and in mountains. Why? So they could protect their food. So the enemy couldn't find them. And it's out of this that God raises up Gideon to deliver his people. And as we've seen in our study so far, God gave Israel a great victory through Gideon. With 300 men against 135,000 Midianites, the children of Israel were victorious. Gideon won the battle. And it was obviously not the strength of Gideon and his men. It was the hand of God. And God gave him the victory. Now, after this battle, and it wasn't really a battle because the Midianites were killing each other. They were startled during the night. But then Gideon calls for reinforcements to go after the remaining enemy. And here's the thing we have to be, you know, careful about. With every victory we have, the devil will try to destroy it for us. And we saw that last time as we, you know, looked at the tribe of Ephraim who came down to help out Gideon. But they're mad. You know, "Gideon, why didn't you call us sooner, man? We're the biggest tribe here. We're the strongest one. We're the good guys. And you didn't even call us." And Gideon intervened and put a stop to the division and maybe a war with their brothers, the Ephraimites. Well, this morning we're going to see that Gideon and his 300 men are still in pursuit of the remaining 15,000 Midianites who escaped out of the 135,000. And I've called this study Pursuing the Enemy. Now, in saying that, and I'm not sure why this is happening today in the church, but many Christians are not even aware of the battle that we're in, or they just don't even care anymore. They don't want to be bothered with it. But let me say this, if you're not engaged, you're losing the battle. And I know it's a hard one to swallow, but think about it. How could you have victory over the enemy if you're not engaged against them? You can't. Now, I don't think we have to go looking for the enemy. The enemy finds us. But there are some things that are right in our face that we have to deal with. We have to pursue that enemy, or it will overtake us. It will destroy our lives if we don't. When you're serving the Lord, understand you are a threat to the enemy, and he will try to bring you down. When you're a new Christian, was some 35-plus years ago, I didn't realize this. I thought you became a Christian and things were, you know, okay. Everything would be fine. And that's when the battle begins. The discouragement, the attacks from the enemy, from friends and family who are coming against you, as we'll talk about this morning. I think we need to be aware of who the enemies are in our lives. You know, gather intelligence, you might say, how they operate, what's the base of operations, their tactics. There are a number of earthly enemies. We have to understand that clearly the devil is our adversary. He's the root of all the problems. Why are all these people coming against me? Why is all this happening to me? Understand, behind the scenes, the devil and his demons are there. And they have a strategy. He's like a roaring lion, Peter tells us, seeking someone to devour. Make no mistake about it. Lucifer, Satan, was the highest of God's angelic creation, and he fell. And as soon as he did, he rolled up his sleeves to attack man. We saw it in the Garden of Eden, right? And that attack continues on today. We have to be aware of the things that are going on around us. The church wants to enjoy a time of playing in the playground, but we're in a battlefield. It's not a playground. I mean, think about it. Could you imagine going to Desert Storm? And there you are on the teeter-totter, you know, going up and down, or the, you know, merry-go-round or whatever. We're in a battle here. It's not time to go on play on child's toys. It's time to engage in the battle. And if you don't think there's a battle, just watch one news program. Just one. And there is a battle. And you think, well, you know, it's not that bad. It is. The battle is going to get intense. And we got to need to stand up for what we believe in. You know, we're going to face hardships and conflicts. And I think they're going to increase as time goes on. Think about Christian marriages. Is Satan for Christian marriages? Absolutely not. He wants to attack them. He wants to rip them apart. We have to be aware. It's a strategy. Because if he destroys a Christian marriage, he destroys a witness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Paul said that this is a great mystery about Christ and his church. Christ being the man being a picture, the husband being a picture of Christ, and the bride, the woman, being a picture of the bride of Christ. And now you've destroyed that picture. All kinds of struggles we're going to encounter. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5:9, resist him steadfast in the faith. Hold on to what you know is true. It will protect you. You can resist him. And here's the thing, if you know this is overwhelming to you, you know, Peter talks about that your brethren are experiencing this too. Please understand, you're not alone. You know, we tend to like put on a Christian facade. Everything's fine in my life. You know, that's one of the, and I'm really bad at this. Okay, so I've been a diabetic for, you know, a long time, over 30 years, right? And before I got this insulin pump, my sugars, when they would drop low, and I would be totally out of it. I wouldn't know what the heck I'm talking about. I wouldn't know anything. And my wife would go, are you okay? And here's my response all the time. In fact, people have experienced this, right? Yeah, Larry, he knows, because I said it to him. I'm fine. I wasn't fine. My sugar was like 30 or 40. I wasn't fine. But that's the response, and I think that's us as Christians. How you doing? I'm fine. Everything's okay. And we don't want to say, hey, you know, could you pray for me? I'm really struggling with this. This is really something heavy upon my heart. We need to be open and pray for each other, because we're in a battle. And like I said, I've called this study Pursuing the Enemy, and I've broken it down into five main points, and they're in your bulletin. But the first one is Pursuing the Enemy in Judges 8:4. No help from the brethren in Judges 8, verses 5 through 9. Never surrender, never give up in Judges 8:10 through 12. Rebellion defeated in Judges 8, verses 13 through 17. And lastly, destruction of the enemy in Judges 8, 18 through 21. So let's pick up Judges chapter 8, starting in verse 4, and let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at this topic, pursuing the enemy. We're told, when Gideon came to the Jordan, he and 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted but still in pursuit. And keep in mind, there's some 15,000 Midianite soldiers who are on the run. And Gideon and his 300 men are in pursuit. And their two kings, Zeba and Zalmunna, they're going to try and go after and destroy. Because if you get rid of their kings, the rest of the soldiers kind of basically give up. The battle's over. Our kings are dead. But in their battles against the enemy, crossing over the Jordan, they were exhausted. And I think it's understandable. They fought hard. They fought for this enemy over a long distance. And, you know, I don't know how you felt over the years, but I've been tired before. Not tired of the work. I mean, I am so blessed what God has called me to do. It's such an honor, such a privilege. But there are times I'm tired in the work, physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted. And I realize that, you know, some feel that if you feel that way, well, then you shouldn't be doing it. I disagree. I mean, I look at the life of Paul. I see David and others who were tired in the work, physically speaking, emotionally speaking. Tired in the work, never of the work. Why? Because we have frail bodies. You know, that's just the reality. You know, Spurgeon put it like this. He said, if you, dear brethren and sisters, will give yourselves wholly to God's work, although you will never get tired of it, you will often get tired in it. If a man has never tired himself with working for God, I should think he never has done any work that was worth doing. Spurgeon never pulled any punches. He just told it like it is. He also went on to say, let us also serve the Lord when every movement is painful, when even to think is wearisome. These men were faint. You know what it is for a soldier to be faint. It is no nonsense, no presence. It's real fainting. Yet to go running on when you are ready to faint, to keep right on when you're ready to drop, this is very trying work. Yet let us do it, brethren, by God's grace. Some people only pray when they feel like praying, but we need most to pray when we feel that we cannot pray. If we were only to preach, some of us, when we felt like preaching, we should not often preach. I think we understand that we do get physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and we think, I can't do this. I can't go on. I can't complete the work. It's too great. But again, the perspective. God said he would give the children of Israel the victory, right? As they pressed on. And I think that's Paul's point in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 12. He wrote, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. You know, here's the amazing thing. God has placed in these bodies of flesh, these earthen vessels, really the gospel message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God indwells us. We are called the temple of the living God. And it's not about our power, our strength. It's the power of God working in us and then working through us. And it's not easy. Paul said, look, I'm hard pressed. No matter which way I turned, I feel like I'm being squeezed in upon. But I'm not crushed. He was perplexed, maybe not completely sure what was happening or why it was happening, and yet he was not in despair because he knew that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who were called according to his purpose. He knew that. He didn't necessarily feel it. He didn't necessarily see it, but he knew it because God's word said it. He was persecuted for his faith, and in the end, Paul was going to be put to death by Nero for his faith in Jesus. But he also knew this important fact. He was not forsaken by God. No matter what happened to him, no matter what came his way, God is not going to forsake him. And it kept him moving forward. He was struck down, beaten, stoned, left for dead. but not destroyed. None of us are going to go home a moment too soon to be with the Lord. It's just timing. Do you really think God's going to go, oh, I messed up with Joe. He wasn't supposed to be here for another 2 years or whatever. No, he's got everything in control. And we just trust in him. And with all the beatings that Paul suffered, he wore them as a badge of honor to the Lord. And so he pressed on. He didn't give up. Even on death row in the Mamertine prison in Rome, he's writing one last time to his son in the faith, Timothy. Why? To complain? No, to encourage Timothy to continue on in the work. Don't give up. Press on. And that's a great example. And I'm not saying we're going to endure everything that Paul went through, but we all endure different things. Don't let that cause you to stop or to drop out from serving the Lord. One person wrote this. He said, one thought kept circulating in my mind. This is so unfair. The only thing I ever wanted was to make it good for everyone, and now I get treated like this. It was a situation where I felt like my efforts weren't really appreciated, and negative thoughts pulled me down into discouragement. Why do we even bother? Nobody even notices that I try so hard. Then a verse came to me from Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, why go on? It seems like everything I post on Facebook, I get 50,000 negative responses. Just give me one like, right? I know, I'm kind of exaggerating there. But it seems like when you stand up for the things of God, the world comes at you. You know, just post something about, you know, the riots and all the destroying of buildings that took place for their protests. And you post something, you know, that's wrong. That's not even legal. They should be arrested. Oh, you just don't understand what they're going through. It doesn't matter. You mean when I have a bad day, I have the right to destroy property? No. But again, you start getting the feeling, what's the point? Why should I even say anything anymore? I'm just going to back away. And that's not a good thing. You know, think about plants. You know, you put the little seeds in the ground, right? And you water them, and there's nothing there. Well, what's up? I put the seeds in. It's been an hour. How long do I have to wait? Well, after a week or so, then this thing starts sprouting and growing. You keep watering. If you don't water, they're going to be in trouble. In due season, you'll reap. Don't lose heart. It's a battle. I hate to say it. This probably message is maybe not even for you. It's probably just personally for me. Because I've been struggling with this very issue. Lord, I've been doing this for 25 years. What impact have I had? And it was kind of like, you know, Eeyore. Woe's me, you know, everything's bad, you know. And the Lord, this message, you know, and it just, I guess, spoke to my heart. So you'll get to listen in on what the Lord's showing me through all this. But it's a battle, no doubt. And we can't lose sight of what God said. Don't lose heart. In due season, you shall reap. Just continue on. Don't give up. You don't know the seeds that you're planting. It's not your responsibility to save anyone. It's God's. Our responsibility, though, is to sow the seeds and let God water or let someone else water and then God bring forth the fruit. If your Christian life is going to be based upon how other people treat you or what they say about you, how they feel about you, you're going to be miserable. I'll tell you what. And that's really easy to say, but the reality is, because we're human beings and we have emotions, we like when people like us, don't we? And it really hurts when people don't like us. But what you have to do, and this is really hard, is you have to say, okay, Lord, you've called me to do this. I'm going to step out and do it. And if nobody says anything or they come against what I'm doing, I'm still going to do it because I know you will never leave me and forsake me. I mean, think about Paul. He's in prison, death row now, his second imprisonment in Rome. And he says, at my first hearing, nobody was with me. Well, where was the church in Rome? I think they were fearful of Nero. We don't want to associate with Paul. Where was everybody else? They weren't there. Paul was by himself. And then he says, but the Lord was with me. Oh, everyone else forsook Paul, but the Lord didn't. Keep that in mind. And again, that's a hard one because just human nature, we want to be liked. We don't want people to be mad at us. It's just the way it is. And for Gideon and his men, all these things, you know, hot pursuit of the enemy, they're exhausted, they're tired as they're serving the Lord. But here's the awesome thing. Nothing was going to stop them from moving forward. Nothing was going to get in their way. Yeah, they were tired, but they kept moving forward. You know, when I was younger and I ran a marathon, I'll tell you what, those last 6 miles, it was horrendous. I ran 20 miles, and I'm thinking, this is great. And then I hit the wall. I'm thinking, what am I doing? But I'm a stubborn guy. Please, Julie, don't comment on that. And I thought, I ran 20 miles. I'm not going to stop now. I only got 6 to go, 5 to go, 4 to go. But I pressed on because I wanted to get to the goal. And I think that's what God wants us to do. Don't give up. Yeah, it looks dark out there. It looks horrible out there. Don't give up. Press on. Pursue the enemy. The enemy may be, you know, a friend, a family member that is into drugs or alcohol that's destroying their lives. That's an enemy. And you want them to be saved. You want to rescue them. And so from pursuing the enemy, we get to our next point, which is a really difficult one. No help from the brethren. And you'll see what I mean as we read on. Look at Judges 8, starting in verse 5. Then he said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your army? So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. These 300 men with Gideon are in pursuit of the 15,000 soldiers of the Midianites who escaped. They cross over the Jordan River, they come to Succoth and Gad, and they ask for food. I mean, these guys are exhausted, they're tired, they're hungry, they need some nourishment to continue on. And Gideon didn't ask the men of Succoth to come to battle for him. All he said is, can you help feed our guys? Give them some food, we're in the pursuit of the enemy. And they refused. Why? Because they weren't sure who was going to win this battle. And so just in case the Midianites would win, we don't want to side with a loser. So we're just going to be walk in the middle. And whoever wins, we'll go with them. And Gideon pronounces judgment on them. He knew that God had delivered the rest of the Midianites into their hands. And once they were victorious over the enemy, he's coming back and he will deal with the leaders of Succoth. Well, then he comes to Penuel. And once again, he asks for food for his men, and they responded the same way as the leaders in Succoth did. They refused because they didn't want to pick sides yet. Again, not knowing who was going to win. That had to be discouraging, right? I mean, this was family, and they didn't want to help out. And I think that happens with us. As we're serving the Lord, the resistance that sometimes we face with family and friends. And instead of helping us, they become a hindrance to what we're doing for the Lord. I, you know, recently saw this where, you know, we were, you know, putting on a program and someone was just like this Debbie Downer and just did not want to encourage at all in this work. And I thought, what's up with that? What do you just if you don't want to say any, if you don't want to encourage, then don't say anything. Don't be a discourager. You know, you may hear things like, you know, wow, you're just so dogmatic about your faith. Just have some kind of faith. Don't be a radical about what you believe. And yet we can, you know, cheer for football teams or whatever like crazy and be the world's greatest fanatics. But when it comes to our faith in Almighty God, the one who's given us life and created everything, don't be too fanatical about him. You really believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah, I know it contains some of the things of God, the things that I like. They would never say it that way. But come on, the whole thing, are you crazy? Jesus the only way? Oh, come on, God's a God of love. He loves everyone. He's not going to send anyone to hell. He doesn't. You go there by choice. He's done everything possible to save you. And you can go on and on. No, you're not qualified to do that. What kind of degree do you have or whatever? And again, we're not talking about unbelievers here.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.